As a person thinks, our scripture text, there's two texts I've chosen, Proverbs 23 and 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Then in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Those words remind us that thinking and what's in our mind is important to God. It is important to us as believers and as Christians. We're going to dig into that a little bit deeper today with this subject of as a person thinks. This fellow, some of you may recognize, this is Norman Vincent Peale. Excuse me. He was born in 1898 in southwestern Ohio. He graduated from Ohio Wesleyan University. And then later he received his master's degree in sacred theology from Boston University School of Theology. Then he attended Syracuse University, and he received a Doctor of Divinity from Syracuse. So he's well versed in theology. He served 10 years as a Methodist clergyman in New York. And then later, Norman Vincent Peale became pastor of New York City's Marble Collegiate Church. And he pastored that same church for 52 long years. And throughout his career, Norman Vincent Peale wrote over 40 books. And he co-founded the spiritual newsletter some of you are familiar with, Guidepost. And he founded that with his wife, Ruth Stafford Peale. But his most famous work is the book titled The Power of Positive Thinking. It was published in October of 1952, and it was on the New York Times bestseller list for 186 weeks, and to date it has sold over 5 million copies and is in over 40 languages. So this book, The Power of Positive Thinking, in the book he uses case histories and practical instructions to propose this method that he thinks matters to all of us, and that's positive thinking. And as a minister, he regularly taught from his church the importance of reading the promises of God in the Bible and using those promises as a way, as you read them and remember them, those and say them, that they build faith and they build hope and they build trust in God. Now, I will have to confess to you that on the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, I always felt like that it was focused a little bit too much on the psychological and the mental and not enough on the spiritual aspect of things. In fact, sadly, though Dr. Norman Vincent Peale started from a very solid, great Wesleyan University in Ohio with foundational principles of faith. He started with that, but through the course of his years in ministry and education, it became obvious that he moved away from those foundational beliefs. In fact, he was on the Phil Donahue show late in his ministry, and on the Phil Donahue show, he said, "It is not necessary to be born again. You have your God and I have mine. I have found eternal peace in a Shinto shrine. I've been to Shinto shrines and God is everywhere. Christ is one of the ways. God is everywhere." He was dead wrong on that. He was dead wrong. In fact, in these words, he was denying the very heart of our Christian faith. And he was replacing it with his own doctrine of just positive thinking. But despite that, the reality is this. God places a great deal of importance on what we're thinking about and what we put into our minds and the kind of mind that we have. He puts a great deal of importance on that in his word. How many of you remember the movie Gone with the Wind? I'm sure many of you have seen it. In Gone with the Wind, Scarlett O'Hara's father, to use an old expression, he sort of goes off his rocker mentally in that movie. In the midst of the Civil War, his home is destroyed. His home then is used by Yankees as their headquarters. His wife dies. It seems everything's just happening all at once, and it seems to push him over the edge. And later he dies, and at the funeral in the movie, Will Benteen delivers an oration. In his oration, he says of this man, "Everybody's mainspring is different." And I want to say this. Folks whose mainsprings are busted are better off dead. I'll tell you, you look around the world today. You look around even in our own nation, where it seems like every other week there's another mass shooting somewhere. Or even this past week, where a dynamic young man of God is murdered with no real solid reason at all. And we see these things and we realize that we live in a day of overwork, twisted and broken mainsprings, so to speak. Things that give rise to evil, satanic darkness from the pits of hell that is influencing the minds of men all over the world, and it becomes more real and more pronounced every single day as we tarry until Jesus comes to take us home. The question is, how can we handle these constant storms that are all around us? How can we have courage of heart? How can we have faith in God? The Word of God and the Bible, it gives us insights. It gives us understandings. It gives us guidance and direction so that we can live as believers lives of victory, trusting in Jesus. In Proverbs 23 and 7, our scripture text makes it very clear with those words, as he thinks in his own heart, so is he. What our minds dwell on, what our minds are always thinking about, what we're taking into our minds, eventually defines who we are and what we become. Now, some of you may be thinking right now, Pastor, we don't need all this mind stuff. We don't need all this psychological mumbo jumbo. We just need the Word of God. Well, we do indeed need the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you that the word mind occurs 131 times in the Bible. So it must be important, or our Heavenly Father wouldn't put it in His Word. And it has so much importance that we're going to dig a little bit deeper and look at this subject this morning. An incredibly important directive and very straightforward and simple statement regarding our minds is found in this scripture in Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we look at this, a matter of the mind this morning. Now, the Apostle Paul, in his writings under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he gives evidence that Paul understands this truth regarding our minds. No doubt Paul had read that scripture in Proverbs, as a person thinks, so is he. So he had a lot to say in the Word of God regarding minds. In this matter of the mind, he starts with a spiritual mind. Spiritual minds. Look at that scripture, Romans 8 and 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A spiritual mind belongs to the man or the woman who is a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our minds begin to be spiritual, not carnal, when we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It begins to change our minds and our thinking. We begin to see the world differently. We begin to see the world through a biblical perspective, through a godly perspective. And the scripture reminds us to leave behind the ideals of the world, to leave behind the ideals of the flesh. Those things, those ideals, those lead to death, don't they? But the ideals of the truth and the promises of God in His Word, they lead to life. And they lead to peace. So Paul speaks to this ideal of a spiritual mind. He also speaks to the renewed mind. Ephesians 4 and 23, and be renewed be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you might put on the new man created in God. So we're renewed. We're renewed as we pray. We're renewed as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're renewed as we put on the new man, as we walk in the Spirit. We're renewed as we take the Word of God into our minds, into our hearts. It renews us. It freshens us. It inspires us, doesn't it? The renewed mind. And then Paul also spoke of the transformed mind in Romans 12 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you seeing how much attention God pays to what's going on in our minds? And the importance of understanding these truths that we're looking at today, being transformed. Our minds are renewed. Transformed, that means changed. It changes our thinking. It changes the things that matter to us. Things become different. It becomes new because we now know Jesus as our Savior and His Holy Spirit is in us. Then Paul also wrote of the Christ-like mind in 1 Corinthians 2:16. But we have the mind of Christ. It affirms our scripture text, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You look at the mind of Christ. What was His example? Christ took on the form of a bondservant. He left the glory and majesty of heaven to come as a child, to come to serve and to give His life. He was obedient, the Bible says, even unto death. It's this mind of Christ and the example that He gives us that Paul is referencing when he talks about a Christ-like mind. He also mentions a sound mind in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. You read this verse many times. Where does the spirit of fear come from? It doesn't come from heaven. It doesn't come from God. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of life. It should say of life and a sound mind. God wants to give us those things. Power and a sound mind. Worry doesn't come from God. You've heard me say it before that fear and worry are dark rooms where negatives are developed. God gives us a sound mind. The spirit of power is in us because of God, in our minds. It's a spirit of victory in Christ Jesus. I believe the Apostle Paul really understood this issue of thinking and thoughts and mind and the power of God. He knew that the only way to cope with the pressures of life, the only way to live a life of transformed thinking, it can only come by the work of the Holy Spirit and God's Word in us, leading to a transformed mind. God calls us. He calls us to have a spiritual mind, a renewed mind, a transformed mind, a Christ-like mind, and a sound mind. All those matter, don't they? They matter a great deal. There was a British grandmother that lived in London during the German bombing of London during World War II. Her son urged her to move out of the apartment she lived in London and move to a safer place and to come and stay with him. But his mother refused. She says, I can't leave my people here. We all depend on each other. We all need each other. These folks need me. We look out for each other. I can't leave my friends in this apartment. Then she pointed to a plaque that she had on the wall to her in her apartment. She pointed her son, now look at my plaque, and the plaque simply said, don't worry, it may never happen. That's a good word, isn't it? Don't worry, it may never happen. Well, one day, a bomb fell on her building, on her apartment building, and it demolished part of that building. Her son came frantically to check on his mother, thinking that she was severely hurt or even dead. He climbed over the rubble to get into her apartment. He got inside her apartment and he looked in, and there she was, sitting in her rocking chair, singing a hymn about her love of Jesus. He looked around with debris everywhere and he asked her, okay, Mom, now what about your sign? And it said, don't worry, it may never happen. Look at this. And she looked at him, she says, oh, yes. She got up from that rocking chair. She walked up to that sign and she flipped it over, and the other side said, don't worry, you can take it. Now I'm going to tell you something. That British grandmother had transformed thinking. She realized that most of the stuff we worry about will never happen anyway. But if it does happen, she's saying, you can take it because God is on your side. You can take it because God is with you, whatever it may be. So we've looked at scriptures that show the importance of our minds and thinking and what we put into our minds, that we should have the mind of Christ. I want to look at a second point of the sermon today, and that's regarding attitudes. Now, attitude's hard to describe, but you know one when you see one, don't you? Some of you and your own children and other children you've seen a little child that gets a bad attitude. You know what that is. I can remember Sherry and I having a discussion a couple of times that one of our children is going to need an attitude correction, you understand? And you know sometimes what that means. It's discipline. Get their attitude right. Get their thinking right. When we talk about the mind of Christ, you know, we're really talking about an attitude, what our attitude is like. There's a great minister, Dr. Chuck Swindoll, who's pastored the Stonebriar Church in Frisco for years, been on the radio for years. Listen to what Dr. Chuck Swindoll says about attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important in the past than successes, than what other people think or say. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing that we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. I will tell you, we are often what our attitudes make us. Attitudes involve emotional and intellectual and spiritual perceptions of life. Attitudes are formed by our tendencies to either accept or reject ideals or values, concepts, and beliefs. Attitudes literally involve the way we look at life in all of its complexity and on all of its variety. God's will is for you and I to have lives that are productive and to have an attitude like the mind of Christ that's full of faith and hope and positive things. Amen? Now, we've been around folks that have bad attitudes, haven't we? We know what that's like. It seems like every time you're around folks with a bad attitude, all they can do is think on the negative. This is wrong, that is wrong. This can't go right, that can't go right. It's always negative, negative, negative. Do you enjoy being around folks like that? Don't you love to be around folks that are full of positive affirmations of hope and belief that, yes, things may be tough, yes, things may be hard, yes, I might be sick, whatever, but God is with me, I'm trusting in Him, and He's going to see me through this. That's the attitude that we're talking about, the mind of Christ. So let me just share with you God's guidelines for our attitudes. Guidelines for having the mind of Christ. The first step, very simply, is keep your head. In the midst of a storm or a trial, we can't despair, we can't lose our heads, we can't lose our bearings. I remind all of us today, there's no gold without the fire of the refinery. There's no steel without the blast of the furnace. There's no diamond without the sharpness of the cutter's tool. There's no faith without the flurry of a storm. In the midst of those things, how do we keep our heads? It begins by internalizing and knowing the Word of God and what it says to us. For example, in Psalm 48:9, we have thought, O God, thinking again, isn't it? We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. We're thinking about your love and your concern for us and not all the junk going on around us. Proverbs 12:5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. And then the scripture, you know this well, in Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure and lovely, of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things, is what God is telling us. Quit thinking on the negative. Quit thinking of all the junk. Think on the good things the Word of God is saying. Do you do that? Do you try to do that? The Patterson family tells a story of the time that their 17-year-old daughter was swimming with her friends. And there was a terrible, tragic accident in the swimming pool. Their daughter was rushed to the hospital. And after the neurologist and orthopedic specialist had completed the exam, they told Mr. and Mrs. Patterson that their daughter was totally paralyzed from the neck down, and that she would likely die within the next 5 years. But Mrs. Patterson, this daughter's mother, refused to accept the doctor's diagnosis. Her mother declared these words. She said, "We're going to surround her with the mind of Christ. We're going to saturate her with the power of God and with His Word. We will saturate her with the love and ministry of the Holy Spirit." Well, her mother and many others committed to persevere for this girl in prayer, believing in God for a miracle. And at age 22, that daughter that was declared completely paralyzed from the neck down, at age 22, that daughter stood before the minister to be married, made perfectly whole with only a slight limp when she was walking. Now, the members of that family, they kept their heads. So we must keep our heads in the midst of a crisis. The second thing we've got to do, step two, is we've got to keep our heart. Don't give place to fear. Have courage. Anxiety and gloom, they seem to sometimes just cover the whole world. Do you realize that statistics show that over 80 million prescriptions for the drug Valium are prescribed annually? 80 million. And it's only one of those synthetics that's used to try to help people keep their hearts and their minds. My dear mother, bless her heart, when she finally got out of the awful marriage to my father, who was an alcoholic, who abused her, it was just terrible. She finally got out of that, and then later she remarried. And she got herself into a marriage that was just so terrible, she finally had confided in our church pastor that she'd made a terrible mistake, but she didn't have the courage to do anything about it. She spent the next 36 years married to this man. And for the last 30 years of her life, she took a Valium every single day just to try to cope and to get through a bad situation and a bad marriage. What a sad thing. You realize that presently approximately one of every three people in the hospital are there because of drug or alcohol issues. It's almost as if the last day's prophecies, speaking of the heart's failing from fear, that's recorded in Luke 21:26, are speaking of the elect being deceived, as recorded in Matthew 20:24. It's as if those prophecies are already upon us. We're seeing it right here before our very eyes. We've got to hold on. We've got to claim God's promise to us. This promise, John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace." Listen, it's not ordinary. He says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Just let that word soak into our minds and our hearts. Receive that word today. But too often we focus on the negatives. Too often we focus on past experiences, don't we? And they trouble us and they keep coming back. And we generalize based on past experiences. We generalize those things into new fears and worries or depression or frustration. And the negatives happen before you know it, we begin losing heart. But I'm telling you this morning, we have a choice. We can place our trust in Christ, and Christ can help us keep our hearts right before Him in the midst of whatever the storm may be. Oh, there's a place where Jesus can help us just keep trusting in Him. You know this verse well. Philippians 4:13, do you believe this? I can do all things. I can overcome. I can bear under. I can be victorious through Christ who still strengthens me. Amen. Amen. The second part of the guidelines today is that keep your head, keep your heart. Get it. The third part, I should say. I got to learn to count. I wonder how much we should charge Sherry for breaking that microphone up here. I've got to count that up. Step three, keep your hope. This is a real clear formula. A cool head and a calm heart equals confident hope. Are you hearing this? A cool head, a confident heart, it equals hope. Hope is the confident expectation that our heart's cry, our prayers, and our desires will be answered, that God is with us. Well, that's what hope is. Hope is faith holding out its hand in the dark. Hope is putting faith to work when doubting would be easier. Hope is the word of God written on the brow of every man. Hope is the only bee that makes honey without flowers. Hope is that thing with feathers that purchases in the heart and the soul of man, and it sings the tune without words, and it never stops because it's lifting us up. Hope delivers us from despair, from that feeling that nothing that we do matters. It delivers us from this sense that we can't make it. It enables us to believe that even we can tackle the most menial jobs and get it done with the help of God. Hope means that we don't give up. Hope means we don't fall into that trap of temporal time frames and temporal tables of things having to happen. We need the power of confessing faith and the confidence of claiming God's promises that turns into hope, that gives us hope. This word of God in 1 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who sometimes leads us. It doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? Always. Thanks be to God. Let it touch your heart. Thanks be to God who always, always, he's speaking to some of you here today. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Oh, with hope we have hope. We believe instead of doubting. In hope we endure instead of giving up. In hope we're purified. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he, Jesus, is pure. Do you recognize this lady? Her name is Helen Keller. She was born blind and deaf. Everybody understand that? She was both blind and deaf. But she rose above her circumstances to make a mark on the world that'll never be forgotten. She was an eloquent speaker, though she never heard her own voice. She wrote 9 books, but she never saw their bindings. In response to thundering applause at Glasgow University, where she received her honorary doctorate, applause that she couldn't hear, she stated these words, "Neither darkness nor silence can impede the progress of the human spirit." She read her Braille Bible so often that certain pages had worn completely smooth. When asked what she thought of Christ, she replied, "Jesus Christ in my life is triumphant love." What a statement, isn't it? Jesus Christ in my life is triumphant love. This is how we live the triumphant life. We transform our thinking by keeping our heads, our hearts, and our hope. We have the mind of Christ when we do that. The mind of Christ is not full of negative thoughts. The mind of Christ is not full of worry and uncertainty and anxiety. Those things become a thing of the past as we adopt a new attitude and a new outlook that's formed by the Word of God, the promises of God, His Holy Spirit. God's Word is true. We looked at it from the very beginning. For as a person thinks in their hearts, so is he. What are you putting in your heart today? What is in your heart this morning? Is your heart full of faith and hope and trust in Jesus? Is your heart full of confidence that you know that if you were like Charlie Kirk sitting in the midst of students at a college university, just sharing hope and ideals and love, that suddenly something evil happens and takes your life and your life suddenly ends? Do you know with certainty that heaven would be your home? That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That you'll have that wonderful, blessed hope of eternal life should your life end today or tomorrow? I pray that you have that hope of Christ in your life today. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for the teaching of the Word of God that shows us the way you want us to live this life on this earth, full of hope, full of ideas that are good and right, full of the presence and the hope of Christ in us and the promises of the Word of God, full of belief and faith in what you have said, what your Word has declared to us. Father, help us get our minds and our hearts off the things of this world. Help us get our minds with the mind of Christ on the promises and the hope of heaven, on the love of God and the wonderful work on the cross for us. The wonderful work on Calvary, the shed blood of our Savior. Help us be remindful each day of these things and what you prepared for us, those that love you and trust you. Give us that wonderful mind of Christ full of the positive thoughts that you have for us each day. Let us think on those things. Let it develop in us the faith that we need to live victoriously every day for Jesus. Thank you, Father. By the work of the Spirit, make this happen in our hearts and lives today. We thank you in advance and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.